Okay, I gotta tell you a joke. But I'm not the best comedian, so bear with me. You can give me your feedback later. The very Reverend Richard Alexander III was the dean of St. John the Divine Cathedral in New York City. And he was a big shot, and he preached really long sermons, and he loved the really long robes, and he loved the fancy liturgy, and he was very proud of his reverence. And he had preached a very long sermon on a Sunday morning, and he thought it was absolutely inspiring, though nobody else seemed to say anything about it. And he took off his long robes and hung them up in the closet in the vesting room, and he left the cathedral and stepped out onto the busy avenue in New York City and hailed a cab. The cab was pretty old and dusty and dirty, and it kind of rattled up as it pulled up. Reverend Richard thought, well, that's a pretty dusty cab, but all right, I'll get in. I hope it doesn't dirty my clericals. He gets into the back seat, and the cabbie turns around and says, hey, the name's Joe. Welcome to the cab. Okay, he says. The cabbie slams on the gas, and they lurch forward really fast. And there's this garbage truck backing out of a driveway, and they hit the garbage truck head on, and they both die. And they get to the pearly gates, where St. Peter is standing there with a clipboard and a bunch of keys. Now, the cabbie died an instant before the reverend. So St. Peter says, name and occupation? Joe Grubbs, cabbie. Oh, Joe, welcome to the kingdom of heaven. Here is your golden staff, and here are your golden sandals. Come on in. So the gates open, and the cabbie goes into heaven. St. Peter says, next. The very Reverend Richard Alexander III, Dean of St. John the Divine in New York City. Oh, yes, Father Richard, yeah. Welcome on in. Here is your wooden staff, and here are your wooden sandals. Father Richard says, hey, wait a minute here. I didn't even get mad at the fact that this guy just killed me, and he gets into heaven first, and he gets a golden staff and golden sandals, and I have a wooden staff. I preached the Lord's word. I did the Lord's work. What's going on here? St. Peter says, well, Reverend Sir, here in heaven, we go by results. When you preached, people slept. When the cabbie drove, people prayed. Hey! But we've all heard of St. Peter with the keys, right? We've all heard these jokes or stories about St. Peter standing at these gates with a whole bunch of keys as if he holds the ability to lock you out of heaven or let you in, right? Like the decision about your salvation belongs to St. Peter. Well, let me give you a clear message. That's not what it says in the scripture. In fact, this big thing about heaven and hell really doesn't come until the Middle Ages, and like with Dante's Divine Comedy in the 1300s, there wasn't a heck of a lot of big deal made about hell in the Bible. But all of that notion about Peter with the keys, it all comes back to this gospel story. This gospel, which is this Sunday and next Sunday, parts 1 and 2 of a sermon from me, This gospel passage is the heart of how the church began. It began with a conversation between Jesus, the disciples, and Peter. It began with Jesus asking for feedback, which I love, because that means that God's Son asked for feedback, so you need to ask for feedback too. Don't live your life without asking your loved ones how you're doing. And listen to what they say, especially stuff that you may need to fix. Jesus was asking how he was coming across. Are people getting the message? He said to the disciples, "Who do people say that I am? What's the talk on the street?" And the disciples say, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And then Jesus says, "But what about you?" And I think he asks us this question too. Who do you say that I am? Do I matter to you? Who am I to you? And Peter says, "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Now, it was quite a big deal to say that Jesus was the Messiah. They had been waiting for the Messiah for generations, so that was quite a thing. But the Messiah was a man like King David, who would defeat their enemies. So it was great that Peter said he was the Messiah, but it's the next thing that Peter says that starts Christianity. He says, "You are the Son of the living God." No one had thought that before. No one had conceived of that before. That was a completely new understanding. God revealed that to Peter. Peter loved Jesus so much, he recognized God in Jesus. And Jesus says, "You're blessed, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of Jonah, you're blessed. I call you Peter," which means rock. "You're the first one. The whole church will stand on you. On this rock I build," what the word meant gathering, but we now call it church. "I build my gathering, my people, all the people who believe in me, who take a risk to think that God could walk the earth." And then he says, "I give you keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Listen to the words. He doesn't say anything about hell. He says, "I give you the ability to unlock heaven. And whatever you do on earth now will have echoes in heaven. For the gate is open to you now. You can open it. In me, you can open it. You have become an eternal being. You walk on this earth and you walk in heaven. When you do something on earth, you do something in heaven. You are eternal. Heaven is with you. It is open to you." There is a beautiful painting in Tolliver Hall. Dr. Linda Privatira has these wonderful artists coming in and out. But there's one in particular, I love it if you could go in and look at it. It's this big painting of St. Peter, and it takes place in the book of Acts. Later in the book of Acts, Peter will have a vision of a sheet that comes down from heaven that has all these animals on it that kosher Jews were not allowed to eat, because God is going to open heaven to Gentiles as well. But in this painting, the sheet isn't flat as I had always pictured it. The sheet is coming down vertically, and it looks like a portal into another universe. And I love it. The ancient liturgical churches like ours and the Roman Catholics and the Eastern Orthodox, we also believe that when Jesus gave Peter his touch and his trust, those keys to heaven, he initiated a sacred mystery that we can't understand. We believe that Jesus touched Peter, and Peter touched someone who touched someone all the way up through the millennia to our bishop. We call it the apostolic succession. So when you get confirmed by the bishop, we believe that there's a line of touch all the way back to Jesus. And when the bishop ordains a priest and then the priest lays their hands on the bread and the wine, that there's something sacred, inexplicable, transcending time that happens in these sacraments, these holy mysteries. And we can't understand it and we can't explain it, but we can experience it. Because in these holy mysteries, heaven is opened. And we stand right there on the edge of earth and heaven. In fact, this whole sanctuary is built. You know, we're in the shape of a cross, and right at the center is our altar. And if you look up at the roof, this looks like a boat, doesn't it? Because we sail into God's presence, into the kingdom together. We sail through the gates. We've had some amazing disciples die recently. One of them, his name is Chet Wilkerson, and he was a sacristan in a monastery for a decade before he moved here, and he wanted to help with a service. And of course I said, great, you're more than qualified. So he helped us set up and run our little Wednesday healing service for years and years and years. As Chet got older, he was bent over from osteoporosis. When COVID hit, most everybody stayed home, but Chet kept coming on Sunday. And I said, Chet, you're not a spring chicken. You need to stay home. And you know what he said to me? He said, Kate, if I die from taking the Holy Eucharist, that's a great way to go. Or Jim Mayer, who we lost suddenly, who was a devoted member of our choir for decades, had just become a chaplain, and he loved going and praying with the sick and anointing them, and he would sing to them, and he would bring them communion. And he knew there was something special about it. He loved bringing it to other people. Or George Booth, whose funeral is on Saturday. He loved holy baptism, so what he decided to do was he would hand make these wooden boxes with a cross on the top, like a hope chest, and he would give them to every single child so that every child could have a place to put their holy things to remind them of God and how much God loves them. Or Paul Ellis. He actually died a few years ago. Paul Ellis was a man with special needs. He lived in the residences, and he came to every single service we ever did, and he wrote all these poems about the church. And he was so devout. He lived on a fixed income, but he would give all of his money to the church at the beginning of the month and then come and ask me for money for food. So I had to explain, Paul, I don't want you to give all your money to the church. God doesn't want you to do that. Paul wrote a poem about the Eucharist. and he drew a picture with it. He said, in the bread and the wine, the stars align and they come down. He drew a picture of the bread and the wine on the table and these spaceships all around. Paul knew that there was something beyond understanding happening here, and he just wanted to be close to it. My friends, Peter was the first, but you are also part of this same body, as St. Paul writes about in Romans. You are part of that eternal connection that is opened with those keys. And Paul says, don't cling to the things of this world. Cling to the things that transcend life. Everything you do here matters. It echoes in heaven. For you are the body of Christ, eternal beings, members of the sacramental life of the church. Amen.